voice.
Mm-hmm.
Found it. I got it here somewhere.
There we go. Yep, it's on. The title of this song is Jesus, Only Jesus.
Has the power to raise the dead, who can save us from our sin? He is our hope, our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus, who can make the blind to see, holds the keys that set us free. He paid it all to bring us peace. Jesus, only Jesus. Holy King Almighty Lord, saints and angels all adore. I'll join with them and bow before Jesus, only Jesus. Who can command the highest praise? Who has the name above all names? You stand alone, I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. Holy King Almighty Lord, saints and angels all adore. I'll join with them and bow before Jesus, only Jesus. You will command the highest praise. Your name, the name above all names. You stand alone, I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. Holy King Almighty Lord, saints and angels all adore. I'll join with them, bow before Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus.
Thank y'all. David's going to be right back, and we're going to sing number 62. Testimonial song, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. I hope it is your testimony as you stand together and sing it with us, please. Let's all stand, please.
Number 62.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Jesus.
seated.
Our ushers are coming forward to receive the tithes and offerings today. I hope you have come prepared to worship the Lord in your service of giving, as it is called in Scripture. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the day that you've given us today. There's so much that goes on, and it's easy for us to get our attention off of you and on to things, and I pray that you'd help break. To sing a song as an introduction to a message that I'm going to be preaching, that we'll get to the part of the message that deals with this song, but I want you to listen to the words of the song very carefully.
One
plain village woman, driven by love for her Lord, recklessly poured out a valuable essence, disregarding the scorn. And once it was broken and spilled out, a fragrance filled all the room, like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb, broken and spilled out, just for love of you, Jesus, my most precious filled out. message there of God's love demonstrated in the cross of Jesus Christ because of what He willingly did there for us. We praise the Lord for it. Again, here in Matthew 25, we'll get to in a moment. There are many people that are fascinated with many things in Scripture. Angels is one of them. If I advertise, I'm going to be bringing a message about angels. There'll be a lot of people say, oh, I want to hear that one. And, you know, the Scriptures tell us many things about them. One of the things they tell us is not to worship them at all.
Amen.
And they are the ones that look into the fascinated with the idea and the understanding of salvation. Because there was no pardon offered to the angels that fail in sin. But God, in His mercy and in His grace, offered to us, through the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus, to pay our sin debt completely so that we might be able to enjoy complete forgiveness of our sins from God. And He didn't just stop there, but then He imparted to every one of us the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. So that when God the Father sees you and me that have genuinely trusted Christ, He doesn't see our sin, but He sees the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And based upon that alone are we worthy to come into His heaven.
Amen.
What a great praise that we have of that. In Hebrews chapter 13, 1 and 2 there, it talks about entertaining angels unawares. You know that it's possible that you've come across an angel in your life and you never did realize it. Maybe somebody you helped along the way. Matter of fact, the beginning of Hebrews 13 there is talking about entertaining strangers because of our love to do that, helping them out, meeting needs, etc. There are two avenues of thought with that. One is, there's been times in my life and Vicky's life that there was a need and God used someone to meet that need exactly how it needed to have been met at the right time. We look back at those things and have a blessing. There's another way of looking at that too. Have you ever been used of the Lord that you did something for someone else or you met a need in some way that you felt led to do and later found out it was exactly what they needed at the exact time they needed it? You know, God is great that way, and it is a blessing to be involved in that. Years ago, I was told of a mother with four girls living alone. Kay, I believe you gave me this. And they were struggling financially, and after one afternoon, knowing that there was not enough food for supper, she gathered the girls together, and they prayed specifically for fruit and vegetables. And that evening, you know what happened. A lady came by, said, "You might have need of these," and gave them quart containers of fruit and vegetables. God had provided as they had prayed, even started providing before they prayed. It reminded me of Isaiah 65:24. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." God does that. Later, that lady came back with some food from her freezer and two gift cards that had been given anonymously, $200 apiece there for gas and groceries. And another verse came to my mind. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." They haven't even asked for that, but God did even more than what they asked for. It's such blessings and joy to see how God works in that way. These people that helped in that way and others that have done that and entertained angels unawares and helping out in those situations, they were probably unaware of the significance and of the timing of their gifts and how God used them. But they were just following what God had laid on their heart to do. And that's the key right there to understand. We need to be willing
to follow what God lays on our heart to do. There are several Bible examples that we could go to, people that were unaware of the great significance of what they did and how God saw it. But I want us to look at just a few this morning of an entitled the message there, Significant Service Unto the Lord. Father, I pray in the time that we have left here that you may turn our attention to these examples. May we see how that you saw them. And Father, that we would be inspired to follow your leading, to do what we can to be used of you in helping in this world and to bring glory unto yourself. Father, I pray that you'd help me to share very clearly, and that there would be nothing that would stand in the way of you ministering to our hearts this morning. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Some Bible examples here in Matthew 25. We have one that should be quite familiar, beginning in verse 34. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come, you blessed into my father, of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the beginning of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily or truly I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You know, Jesus makes it clear there that their unselfish service that they did unto the little and unto the least was seen in his eyes as doing it unto himself. And that is so important because there are many things that we have opportunity to do, many people that we have opportunity to affect in this life. And if we approach it with the proper understanding, the proper motivation, that we're doing it as unto the Lord with all of our heart, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ will see it the exact same way. When we've done it unto one of the least of these, he says we've done it as unto him. And what a principle that we can see or a revelation of how the Lord Jesus Christ looks at things. Ephesians 6:7 says, With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. And I think that's a key as we seek to do this service there. Recently, I was asked to fill out a reference form for a person. And in the questionnaire that was going down through there, and sometimes these can be tricky to fill out, but one of the questions was, what, in your opinion, are some of the strong points of this person? Now, I have to be honest. And the person that I was filling this out for, and it's nobody in our church here, by the way, so don't try to be figuring that out. I began to struggle a little bit and say, well, what are his strong points? And it came across my mind, you know, he is willing to help other people. And I thought, yeah, that'll work. And I thought, well, he's willing to help other people if asked. You see a difference there? We ought to be the type of people that don't have to wait to be asked to do something of that nature. But we ought to be willing just to jump in and do it, even when we're not asked. There are needs that people have in this world. I know one right now. Just found out yesterday. And there are these needs that people have that sometimes we might not be aware of the details of it. But we just have to listen to the Lord because the Lord is aware. And He can prompt our heart to do something. And we have the choice then of saying,
okay, Lord, I'm going to do that. Or, I don't know if that would really be helpful. I think I'll just table that for right now. It's in those choices, in those times. Don't wait to be asked. Just be willing to help as God lays upon your heart. Example of the righteous. There's a second one in Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 41, we know this as the widow's mite. You remember this particular lady? I picture her as a little old lady coming in there and to give. And it says there, and we'll pick up reading in verse 41, that Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Now here's Jesus. He's sitting over the side there where they're collecting money. People are coming by and they're putting it in. It'd be kind of like having an offering plate up here. And everybody in the church is kind of circling by and they're putting their money in. And Jesus standing over here looking. By the way, we don't do it that way. But Jesus was still looking. he saw exactly what we gave and what he gave us, etc. But the point is, Jesus was watching there, and there were some people that were rich that cast in a lot of money. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing, which is very little of nothing financially. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily or truly I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And here's the point that I want you to see. In Jesus' eyes, it was not how much they gave, but it was how much in comparison to what God had given them. You see, there's not a dollar amount that God says that's enough. There may be some of you that have hardly anything and have very little income. I just heard of yesterday a lady with five children, single mom, just lost her job, laid off because of downsizing. And there's need. That person may not be able to give very much unto the Lord right now. But another person maybe is making $100,000 a year or more. And they can give a whole lot more compared. But the point is, what are we doing with what God gave us? Are we faithful with what God has entrusted us with? I believe this widow here is an example of great faithfulness, even sacrificial giving beyond what would even have been expected in her giving there, but she was willing to give. It's what we use with what God has given us is so important. And then in John chapter 1, we have another example. This is early in Jesus' ministry as he was calling his disciples unto him. And John the Baptist is in transition. And as John saw Jesus in chapter 1 of John there in verse 29 at the end, he said to those standing around, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. We know what he was talking about. Then later, the next day, in verse 36, it says, Then looking to Jesus, upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus, two of John's disciples there. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, You know, what seek ye, etc. there. And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, Where dwellest thou, etc. there. Verse 40, look down. One of the two which heard him speak, John speak, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ.
And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. That's the Arabic word for it. The Greek is Peter, which is by interpretation a stone. And so what I want you to see here is, here was Andrew. And when he heard that Jesus is the Lamb of God, he started following him. And the first thing he did when he left from Jesus, he went and found his brother. And he says, you need to come and meet Jesus. He is the Christ. He's the Messiah. And of course, Peter did. And Peter, we would understand, is probably only second to Paul in prominence in the New Testament. God used Peter in a great way. But Peter was called to the Lord by Andrew. Andrew was the example of one bringing another to Jesus Christ. Did Andrew know that Peter was going to become so prominent and be used of the Lord in such a mighty way in the New Testament? No way he could have anticipated. And that's the point. It's no way that you can anticipate that the next person that you bring to the Lord Jesus Christ will not become a major worker for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. You think about the people. Think about men that have been tremendous missionaries, evangelists, pastors, authors, etc., who brought them to Jesus Christ. We don't hear as much about those people. There's coming a day, I believe, that the Lord Jesus Christ will introduce them to all of the ones that they had opportunity to affect because they led the one to the Lord. Mission work works that way, folks, as we enter in unto their ministry as well. There's a song that you probably have heard, entitled Faces. It says, I dreamed my life was done. I stood before God's Son. It was time to see what my reward would be. With love, He reviewed my life to count what was done for Christ, for that is what will last eternally. See, I had done my best to share that Jesus really cares and He would save if they would just believe. Oh, but seldom did harvest come, and so few did I see one, until the Lord said, turn around and see. I won't take the time to read through, but He showed him all of the faces of the people that had been affected by Him because of the ones that He had led to the Lord. We need to be faithful because we don't know what effect, what significance our work for the Lord, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class or whether it is giving out a tract or whether a testimony before some family members or friends or co-workers, etc. We don't know what the Lord is going to do with all of that. I tell you, His word will not return unto Him void according to what He says. And if we give it out faithfully, I believe God will honor that and that we will see one day the significance. And then in Matthew 26... our last one here, and this is what this song that I sang was about. In Matthew 26, an example of a lady, a woman named Mary, not the mother of Jesus. Have you ever noticed, as you've read in the Bible, how that there's not a whole lot said about empires, emperors, the Roman conquests that were going on during the time of the New Testament being written, etc. But we do find memorialized things that we might not have ever anticipated. And this particular story is one of them. Notice there in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 6, Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat to eat there. We're told in one of the other Gospels that she also poured it on his feet. But when his disciples saw it, primarily that of Judas, we're told in one of the others, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the world, in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." What does God draw attention to? Here, this sacrifice of service. Now, I won't take the time to explain how much it was worth, but it was worth a lot of money. And I mentioned about Judas. He was the one that carried the bag. He was the thief, we're told in the other Gospels there. That's why he wanted the money to be put in the bag, not so much that he cared about the poor. But Jesus made the emphasis there to this woman that was being somewhat mocked or misunderstood because of her service, of her sacrifice of giving, and questioned in their minds of what was going on. And Jesus made it clear and said, "This woman has done this service to me. She's anointed my body because she's doing it unto my burial." Now I could ask you, did this woman understand that she was doing this for his burial? I doubt it very seriously. Don't think that she would have grasped all of that. But I believe that she was led of the Lord to do it. God gave her that idea. Jesus knew exactly what it was for. We know what it's for today because Jesus made it clear. But the point that we see here is she didn't know the significance of her service there in giving this costly ointment and anointing his body with it. But she was willing to be misunderstood. She was willing to make that sacrifice because it had been laid upon her heart to do so. And she was obedient. And God blessed it. Some people have an idea and say, I want to serve the Lord. I just don't want to go overboard here. What does that mean? Why don't we want to go overboard? Because we hold the bag. And we care about what's in it. David talked about it in Sunday school this morning. The material things, the love of money, the holding on to it. Let's don't get too crazy here now. I want to do something, but I don't want to do that. But what does God lay upon your heart? Not only do we see the sacrifice of her service and the willingness to do it, and probably the unrealized aspect or significance of that service. But we're told by Jesus in Mark 14, verse 8, concerning this particular work that was done. It says, "She had done what she could." You see, Mary probably didn't have opportunity to do a lot of things for the Lord. But she did what she could. That spoke to my heart right there, and I ask you the same question. Can that be said of every one of us? That we are doing what we could. That broken and spilled out that I sang ended up, "Lord, let me be spilled out and used up for Thee." That ought to be our heart. "Lord, I don't know exactly what you want me to do. I'm doing what I can. And as He leads us, we ought to be following. But we got to be listening." And only a willing heart has an open ear to hear the Master say, walk this way. Do this. We need to be willing. So what does all of this mean to us? In each one of these cases, they served the Lord. They were doing what they could as unto the Lord with all of their heart. And in each case, the Lord multiplied the outcome. And the Lord was pleased. So my encouragement to you today is don't go away weary in well-doing. Remember last Sunday's message? Don't be weary in well-doing, but do what you can. Do it unto the Lord and do it with all your heart. That ought to be our desire. Only in heaven will we fully realize the significance of what God leads us to do. Only then will we see fully the benefit of the service that we've given. So are you today doing what you can for the Lord? We all have opportunity. We may not have as much opportunity as another, but just like Mary, she did what she could. Are you willing? Every head bow, please. You've heard the message. I pray that it both has been a blessing to you as well as an encouragement to you. We have the responsibility to do what we can. If I shared with you right now, there are certain positions open in the church. There are certain needs that we have of somebody to do certain things. You may sit back and say, well, I can't do anything like that. And that might be true. But what can you do? Are you willing to pose that question before the Lord? Say, Lord, will you show me what I can do? Show me how I can be involved. Show me how I can help with what you have given me. Father, right now I pray that as we evaluate within our hearts, that we would understand that you know exactly what you have given us. You know our ability, you know our strengths, you know our weaknesses, you know what finances we have, you know what talents that you have given us, you know how much time that we have, our responsibilities. Father, I pray that we would be found faithful in your eyes, pleasing to you. For you're the one that we should live to please. Help us to make the wise choices today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.